Welcome to Common Sense Coalition Talk Radio, where you'll find straight talk from people with good old common sense.
I trust your opinion.
And now, for your host, he's putting sense back into nonsense.
Absolute insanity.
Well, you can hear me on the radio.
Your host, Beth Ann.
And I welcome you today to CSC Talk Radio. It is my honor, my privilege, and my pleasure, as always, to be here with you today. The weather has turned. You know, we've been talking about how bad we want spring. Well, we've got it today. We've got the spring rains with possible severe thunderstorms later today. And that is what spring brings. So we got to take it with the bad weather with the good weather, just like every season. Well, today we have a guest. He's returned. He's kind of getting to be an old friend. This is the third time he's been on CSC Talk Radio. And we're going to talk about some topics today that are near and dear to his heart as well as mine. And I think it'll help. I know that it's something we've discussed before. But Brian Watson is my guest today. Brian, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on your show today.
Oh, you're more than welcome. How's the weather there in Colorado?
It's beautiful. It's about 70 degrees today, which I'm looking forward to. I love winter, but I sure like spring the older I get.
Well, you know, I'm not a winter lover. I like maybe one snow around Christmas, and then I'm done with it. One cold snap, and I'm finished. But and that gets worse the older I get. So I like spring, and I like summer. I like to be comfortable. I guess that's just a sign of my age. However, you've got one up on us today because we're just in the upper 30s today. So we were 65 yesterday, and now we're down. It's kind of, I know Missouri's not the only one that can name claim to that, but the weather, if you don't like it, just stick around in 24 hours, it'll change.
So, that is so true.
But we're going to talk about some topics today that, you know, one thing, and I know you've been on enough that you know when I go off the air, I encourage everyone to come together. We have to find common denominator. We are going to have lots of differences in our opinions and how we think things should be done, but we have to find those common denominators. And the topics today with jobs, immigration, and education, I think about the reason that I'm here every day. And the reason that I'm here every day is because I'm concerned about this nation. I'm concerned particularly about the future of this nation. And these three topics are all very vital to the future of this nation. Don't you agree?
I do agree, and sadly they're being used by some people to create more division than bring people together on that common ground. But I agree with you, having a good discussion about it and trying to figure out what the common ground is and what's best for our country and moving it forward is the best approach.
You know, if we don't have a common ground of liberty and freedom, then we aren't going to find any common denominator to agree on. But I think with our children and our grandchildren and the future generations, if we're all selfish and we want what we want right now, then we're not thinking about the future of this nation. And I'm so thankful that our founding fathers weren't that selfish. They were that Greek proverb, society becomes great when old men plant trees. They know the shade they're not going to enjoy. I kind of paraphrased that a little bit. And that's what our founding fathers did, and I feel like that's what we're kind of up against again today. The things that we fix now, I mean, we're kind of somewhat responsible for what the mess that we're in, and we've got to fix it now. We probably won't enjoy necessarily all the benefits from what we fix now, but the future generation certainly will, and hopefully they will learn from our mistakes. But
I would agree with you. You know, I think we've been a nation of hardworking people and a people of sacrifice. And, you know, sadly, there's some out there who believe that they're entitled to a whole bunch of things. And then there's people trying to take advantage of others. And there's some real core things that we need to address to make sure that this country goes on for the hundreds of years in the future.
Well, let's talk about jobs right now. Do you think that the jobs and the economy are getting any better here? Do you think we're improving?
Well, yes and no. You know, right now we have reached a 6.5-year low of 5.5% unemployment for the country. about 295,000 jobs were added in February, which is the 12th straight month with employment gains above 200,000 people per month. And that's the longest run since 1994. And, you know, there are some communities out there with unbelievably low unemployment. Midland, Texas leads the country with the lowest unemployment rate of 2.6%. They're in the oil patch, so there's a lot of great jobs and opportunity out there. Places like Lincoln, Nebraska are at 2.8% and Ames, Iowa at 2.9%. But then you got some towns like El Centro, California and Yuma, Arizona that are at 21 and almost 20% unemployment rate. So it depends. I mean, overall, yes, there's more jobs being created. There's a lot of, issue about how are you defining unemployment because it's only those people that are looking for a job, not those who are either underemployed or have given up, which, you know, a lot of people say. But in general, there is a lot of things going in the right direction in terms of jobs and opportunity, but you really have to make sure you're looking at the numbers in a smart way.
And we all realize, I know my listeners do, that those numbers are manipulated. When we say given up, that doesn't necessarily mean the individual has given up getting a job, but they are no longer, they've been out of work so long, they're no longer on that register to receive unemployment, therefore they go off of that list and are no longer considered unemployed, even though that they are. I know that in my area, I see some things picking up, but not all things picking up. I see my husband's in construction. There has been some pickup in that, but it's not necessarily new. A lot of it's remodel and rework, and not much of it is new just yet, other than those that are getting money from government entities and that kind of thing. But as far as businesses and individuals and that, they seem to be holding back yet.
They are. And, you know, in a lot of areas, it's tied to the energy sector, you know, as well. So in different areas where you see oil and gas production, there's a lot of jobs and opportunity. At the same time, with oil prices going down, you know, that's started to affect that as well. Construction, you know, in certain areas, like in Colorado right now, it's very, very strong in even pre-recession levels. But, you know, I want to go back to one thing that you had said about, you know, the long-term unemployed. You know, that's characterized as people who have been out of work for 6 months or more. Mm-hmm. And 31% of the unemployed in our country, which is the largest since the Great Depression in over a half century, that number is being represented 31%. So, you know, again, there are definitely some good signs and some pockets and some areas. At the same time, there's a whole lot of people who have still been out of work for a long time that we need to make sure we create those jobs and opportunity for them as well.
And I'm going to ask a loaded question. If we are seeing some improvement, what do you attribute that to? Because I don't see, and I don't like to use the word government anymore because I just don't see what they're doing as being helpful necessarily. Do you? I mean, what do you attribute? I think Americans in general are resilient, and they're going to figure it out one way or another, despite all the rules, regulations, and mandates that we have thrown at us. But what do you attribute hopefully a comeback?
Well, you know, government doesn't create jobs. Entrepreneurs and good, hardworking people create quality jobs in America. And so I agree with you. I think we're a very resilient people, and I think that there comes a time where people say, you know what, I just got to go figure it out one way or the other and start that business that I've always wanted to start, or, you know, hire some more people, and regardless of all these regulations and everything that are, you know, so burdensome. And so, you know, it's a shame, you know, that environment exists at the end of the day. So I think it's partly that the United States has transitioned over the last few years as the, you know, one of the largest and main oil producers. I think energy is a huge opportunity for us as a country. I think the cost of capital in terms of debt and those type of things, it's very favorable in the United States for people to go start businesses or to build buildings or whatever it is that their business might be. And I think, again, that hardworking American ethic to say, you know what, we're going to go out and make something happen in this idea of freedom, I think is really what makes that positive impact.
We can find a market or we can create a market. Americans are just resilient and they're really good at it. But I think they've been down a little bit. We're going to open up the phone lines, 877-895-5410. That's 877-895-5410. We're talking about some topics that are really important to the future of this nation. And we will be right back. gold is an investment. Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver is CSC Talk Radio's choice for gold, silver, and all your precious metals. Gold and silver are the ultimate forms of wealth. They are beautiful and alluring to virtually everyone on earth. They are extremely scarce and can't be counterfeited. Your contact, your trusted dealer, is Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver. Discount Gold and Silver take pride in their business practices. No hard pressure sales, no boiler room tactics. Low prices, quality products, fast shipping. For all your gold, silver, platinum, and palladium needs, buy and sell. Discount Gold and Silver take pride in the fact that they educate their clients so that you can make an informed decision. Visit Melody Cederstrom at dgscoins.com or call her at 1-800-375-4188. dgscoins.com or 1-800-375-4188. Discount Gold and Silver is the common sense way to invest.
CSC Talk Radio's goal is to bring America home. That includes you and your business. Radio is a powerful way to brand your company and increase your profits. Find out how to join CSC Talk Radio, help educate and activate America, and grow your business at the same time. Looking for new customers? Looking to have your business reaching out from sea to shining sea? Advertise with CSC Talk Radio. Believe in your product? Let Beth Ann be your personal spokesperson to properly brand your product and company. It's simple, easy, and affordable. Grow your business, grow common sense, and together we will bring America home. To be a part of CSC Talk Radio, call 573-796-2166. That's 573-796-2166. Or send email to Beth at csctalkradio.com.
You stroll out to the barn to check on those calves, kids, or lambs, and at first glance, you know something is not right. A weak kid, a calf who cannot nurse, or a ewe who does not have enough colostrum for her newborn lambs. Your role switches from caretaker to rescuer. In these situations, minutes count. Having the right products on hand is vitally important. Visit the animal care category at HanbyDairySupply.com to stock up on your medical needs. At Hanby Dairy Supply, they understand because their family has been raising livestock since 1954. With their years of experience, they can help you with your needs, including planning for those livestock emergencies. Visit HanbyDairySupply.com for colostrum, Energy Plus energy supplements, Formula 911, and a rest drench product. Stock up today and be prepared. H-A-M-B-Y DairySupply.com or give them a call at 1-800-306-8937. We have returned. You're listening to CSC Talk Radio. We're visiting today with Brian Watson. The lines are open if you want to call in and join in the conversation at 877-895-5410. You mentioned something, Brian, that kind of hit me as we were going into that break, kind of the mother in me, I guess, kind of when you mentioned some of the communities that have 20-plus more percent unemployment, I'm thinking about the great need those particular communities have and the desperation that they must feel. Over 20% is a large percentage of unemployment in a community. And I am a small community, so that would be even more devastating. But I just, have a little sympathy and empathy going out to those communities that are suffering like that in our nation.
Well, absolutely. I mean, those are people as well, and a lot of those people have roots in those communities and believe in those communities, and for whatever the reason might be, whether a company pulled up or there just hasn't been as much opportunity for them, it's heartbreaking because that equates to what's bread on the table and what opportunities they have. So, at my company, North Star Commercial Partners, and I'm always trying to figure out how I can go into certain communities through our real estate and buy buildings and create, business incubators or different ideas to help create opportunity for those people. And so you'd hope that that can help to make a positive transition and to make sure that those communities survive.
Well, I was wondering, I was going to ask you about your advice to some of those communities, and somebody that's maybe been contemplating, you had mentioned somebody that sometimes they just go ahead and they go, you know what, I got to figure a way out, figure a way to do what I want to do, whether it's start a new business or whatever the agenda might be for them to try and get out of the hole that we're in this nation. And what would be your advice to somebody starting up?
Well, I believe that opportunity in business will go to where it's most wanted. And so I think a lot of those communities, where they can, to try to get the job skills and training that they need to be able to attract some of those companies. I believe encouraging entrepreneurship is absolutely vital. It's one of the great things that makes our country so strong. And to have, you know, job skills and training in these communities that people can start a business. And what's amazing today with technology is, you know, you can have a business in El Centro, you know, California with a 20-plus, percent unemployment rate and be able to sell your product wherever it might be around the world. And so you don't have to be in, you know, L.A. or a Denver or Chicago. You can actually run your business from whatever small community that you want to and literally be able to ship your product, you know, throughout the United States or around the world. So really focus on those job training skills, encourage entrepreneurship, and make sure that, you know, different people and companies know that you're open for business and want to attract them.
You know, I have to kind of chuckle because my product goes out nationally and I guess globally because I'm on the internet and shortwave, and I'm located in a small little town right in the middle of this nation. I always say we're in the middle reaching out, and you know, people that you do what? You know, you're where? You know, I'm in a little town called California, Missouri, and I'm no Rush Limbaugh, I guess, but it's nationally syndicated and it gets out there, and I occasionally have the opportunity to go meet and greet a lot of folks that do listen on the air, and you know, so the opportunities are there if you seize them.
Well, and look at your show. I mean, I love your common sense approach and telling it how it is and having good open conversation and finding that common ground. And I think that is a product that's frankly needed around the country and the world. And it's amazing that today you can have that voice right from your community, live where you want to live and be with your family at the same time, be impacting lives in places you don't even know just yet, but you know you're having a positive impact.
Well, you know, I think the only way to take this nation back, the only way to get it back up on its feet is to win it one community, one county, one nation, one state at a time. And I think that's where I'm the strongest. And even though I may be the smallest, that's where I think I'm the strongest because, I've been on some other talk shows. They've had me on some other talk shows. And one of them, the last time I was on, they said, are you a hater? And I go, well, no, I'm not a hater. You know, I don't believe in that. I believe in pulling it together. I don't think we're going to all agree on everything, but I just don't go after the negative. I try to go after the positive. And some days that's a little more difficult than others. But I think pulling it together, seeing America, seeing us all as a family. I mean, we've seen a lot of turmoil in the last several years. And I have in my lifetime. I've seen a lot of things go on in this nation. But I've never seen us so divided and confused in the chaos that we have right now. I've never seen it quite that bad before.
I agree. I think it's gotten a whole lot worse. And, you know, I believe that every day that you wake up in the morning, you have two choices before you. You know, you can be negative and complain and not make a positive difference. Or you can say, you know what, things are the way they are, and I'm going to try to do my best to bless someone, to love on someone, and to try to help the country and make a positive impact. And I'd much rather be in that, you know, second camp there of being positive and trying to figure out what can we do to work together to make a positive change. So I love what you're doing, and I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Well, thank you, Brian. I appreciate that, and we certainly appreciate you being a part and all that you do to help people get started and keep going and the encouragement that you give. Let's change gears here. Let's talk about something else, and I think this has a lot to do. I think all three of these topics kind of combine together. They all kind of cleave together in some way, some shape, size, form. And immigration would be the next one. We are doing quite a battle over this illegal immigration issue through the president and the fight that's going on in D.C. And you know, I'm okay with them fighting if they were actually trying to get something done. Sometimes I think they're just fighting and they're not really trying to accomplish anything but make a bunch of noise. And so I think it's a concern that we need to talk about. I think it has a lot to do with our jobs and our opportunities. So let's let's discuss the immigration issue in this nation right now.
Well, you know, I would say, first off, that legal immigration is one of the things that makes our country so great. Having a diversity of people coming in through legal means has helped strengthen our country, create diversity, and really make it the wonderful place that it is. My grandparents immigrated from Denmark and from Switzerland. My grandmother worked in the sweatshops of New York City. My grandfather was a boxer and a hard laborer, and they worked to achieve the American dream, and I'm thankful that they did that. Sadly, what this has become today is more about politics than really about people for many. And so, you know, right now, as an example, this illegal immigration that's coming, not only from our southern border, but also from our northern border, but also all of these visas and these people that come to our country that we don't track in any way. And so I would say that first and foremost, immigration is a wonderful, powerful thing for our country, but it has to be done in a legal means, and it has to be done under a means that we can assimilate a certain amount of people. You can't have, you know, a billion people move to the United States in 1 year. That wouldn't be healthy for the country on many different levels. Specifically, one of the things that concerns me is on the border right now are the illegal children that are coming over the border. Right now, there's 12,509 kids under the age of 18 that have come over just since October. And this is one of the largest waves of immigrants that we've had come. Only one in six of those is being returned to their home country. And so you think about taking this amount of kids and how to take care of them and to address this issue, it's a big problem.
It is a big problem. And it does tug at your heart, you know. And the children are being used. There's no doubt about that, that they're being used for political purposes and other things. And it's really scary to see what's going on. And I'm concerned about the legal immigration. I'm not, I've been here like forever, Brian. My family has been. But my husband's family, he's just, I call him just the second generation born here. He's kind of a newbie, I said. But, you know, it's, it is what makes us unique. But to increase that, when we see what our economy is like now, to increase that gives me some concern in my heart for that. And the reasoning that they put behind it is what really concerns me, and that would take us right into our next conversation, so I'm not sure I want to go there just yet. But when they talk about adding to the legal immigration coming in here because we need their expertise and their jobs, we need that, and yet we don't seem to be increasing, why is it America doesn't have that to offer its own businesses? And that part concerns me. It's not so much that we bring others in, it's that we don't seem to have it ourselves, and I'm not sure that we don't have it, but if we don't, why not? And that would go into our education, and that's what I said. I think all of these kind of mold together. But I want to continue on the immigration for just a little bit longer, because I want the people to understand what's really going down in the politics of this and what it's going to cost this nation. We're going into a break. Like I said, the lines are open. If you just want to sit and listen, we're okay with that, too. But we'd love to have you join in with us at 877-895-5410, 877-895-5410. And Brian and Beth Ann will be right back. Talk Radio is making available two pocket-sized booklets which will arm you with the truth. President Lincoln said, study the Constitution, let it be preached from the pulpit, proclaim the legislatures and enforced in courts of justice. The Citizens Rule Book is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Bill of Rights, our Constitution, and much more, explaining our rules. A must-read and a convenient to carry. Keep one in your pocket, one in your car, and one in your purse. The second punch of power is Sheriff Richard Mack's Victory for State Sovereignty. Understanding that our state states' rights supersede federal laws and mandates is vital and valuable information. The Supreme Court victory of Mack Prince versus USA is a victory for all states. $5 will put power in your pocket. Order now. Send $5 to CSC Talk Radio. Let me know you want a pocket full of power. Post Office Box 73, California, Missouri 65018, or order online at csctalkradio.com. $5 is a small amount to pay for a pocket full of power. CSC Talk Radio continues our goal to bring America home. I've made it my mission to help small businesses who are ready to serve America on a national level. CSC Talk Radio can help your business too. I'm proud to bring to you TM Firearms Training. Tim Milligan. Sometimes an instructor, always a student. Tim Milligan is TM Firearms Training. He offers training in defensive shooting and tactics to defend yourself, your family, and the innocent. Tim has been teaching defensive shooting professionally for over 4 years and in private sessions for over 15 years. NRA certified basic pistol instructor, range safety officer, Tim is a distinguished expert marksman in pistol and revolver. Tim Milligan, sometimes an instructor, always a student. Visit tmfirearmstraining.wordpress.com. That's tmfirearmstraining.wordpress.com or call 319-371-6698. Let CSC Talk Radio help your business go national.
What every American needs to know about the Quran, the history of Islam and the United States. Bill Federer has done it again. He makes history come to life, and current events all connect that to history. Sultans conquered the 1,000-year-old Byzantine city of Constantinople. Jefferson sent Marines to stop the Muslim Barbary pirates of Algiers and Tripoli. Woodrow Wilson tried saving millions of Americans killed in Turkey. History that affects you and me today. In 2006, Keith Ellison was the first Muslim elected to the U.S. Congress. He swore on a Quran. What does this mean? Educate and activate. We shouldn't form opinion or initiate actions before we know the truth. Purchase your copy of What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran today. Send $22 to CSE Talk Radio, P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri 65018, or order on the website at csctalkradio.com. That's $22 for the history of Islam and the United States.
The Coming Battle, Lost for 100 Years, first published in 1899, is the chronological history of the usurping of every American's sovereign rights by the unseen money powers and their agents.
The Coming Battle, Who Controls America? This book has documented how and why our elected representatives and the banking money power deliberately created the national debt.
Banking money power and corporate interests, partnering with government, set up a framework to exploit American workers.
The complete early history of the creation of the Federal Reserve.
The Coming Battle is a chilling and all too true saga of power run amok. A must read for all Americans who want to know where and when our country went wrong.
To order The Coming Battle, send a $15 check, cash, or money order to P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri 65018.
For credit card use, visit csctalkradio.com.
And we have returned to listening to CSC Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. I'm visiting today with our good friend Brian Watson. And Brian, as we were talking about immigration, you know, one would think we do have a problem. There's no doubt about that. We have a problem. And we have a lot of illegals living here in the land, hiding, taking advantage of things. And it's one thing to reach out and say, okay, we know that now you've had children here that we consider ours. I know that there's controversy that goes along with that statement, but I'm just generalizing here. And we need to do something about this. So the president is reaching out, and he's not calling it amnesty. And it's not like we're just saying, okay, give us your tired, your poor. We want you to come to our offices. We're going to straighten this all out. We're not saying that exactly. But it's the money that's involved that is even more alarming to us, especially with the way our economy and our job situation is right now, and education. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. But the money that it's going to cost each legal person here in the United States to make these others realize that they're welcome now and make them, I don't know, I guess legal, it's going to cost us so greatly in the dollars and cents of it all that that doesn't make sense to me. And now, am I just looking at it incorrectly, or to make all these entitlements, to give them all this, where it's going to cost us trillions of dollars, literally, doesn't make sense to me. Does it to you?
Well, no. It's the old adage, you know, there's nothing for free and there's never a free lunch. And it seems like the federal government has gone on the spree of just offering all these free programs, whether it's college or anything else that one wants today. But there's a cost to that. And, you know, I would say that it seems like at times that the federal government is more interested and in the business of penalizing hardworking Americans and focusing their efforts on activities to benefit everyone else around the world, but yet, you know, penalizing its own population. And I think first and foremost, our federal government has given a mandate to protect its people and to represent the people of the United States. And at the end of the day, I think that more and more it seems like that is not the case. And they think that the well is endless, that they can keep drawing from that well for whatever they want. So for me, for immigration, I would first and foremost, I think that we try to bundle everything together and it gets very complicated and you're never going to make everybody happy. But I think we all could agree on that we need to strengthen our borders, both our southern border and our northern border, and get our arms around this visa program so we understand who is actually coming to our country. I think that should be one of the first things that we all should work on, and then focus on what do we do with the individuals that are here in this country. And there's a lot of those people who are very hardworking people who are contributing to the society, and there's others who are taking advantage of the society. And we need to really figure that out as the next piece. But first and foremost, get our arms around what is actually coming, who is actually coming into our country, because that's a very, very big concern.
Stand back and look at the big picture is what we need to do. And I think we tend to attack a problem and see the symptom, and we attack the symptom instead of looking at the bigger issue, looking at the whole problem. And yes, we need to know who's coming across that border, and we do need to secure the borders. There's no doubt about that. They secure them the other direction, and we need to secure them coming this direction. That doesn't seem to be a problem going the other direction. And, you know, when people come into this country, if they really, really want to be a part of us, that melting pot that I like to say I'm one of, because I'm French, Irish, Scotch, Indian, English, and German, I've got it all just about. And you'd run out of hyphens if we hyphenated Beth. But to penalize, I wanted to go back on something you said about them penalizing. The federal government tend to penalize the hardworking American. And, you know, this attitude that they have, and it's a socialistic attitude, that you didn't build it by yourself, because the government built these roads and the government did this and the government provided that. And I'm thinking, no, it didn't, because the government has nothing unless the people give it to them through the taxes, through our permits, through our licenses. You know, they have nothing up there in D.C. unless we give it to them. And it's just so arrogant for them to talk down to the American entrepreneurs and the American people that are struggling with businesses, to say, you didn't build this by yourself. Well, there was probably some that helped in the community, but for the government to decide that they can take it, whether it's an inheritance tax or whether it's whatever, for them to think that they did it without us is wrong.
Well, I would submit that the founding fathers are, you know, would probably weep if they saw how out of control the federal government has become. It was never meant to be that way. States' rights have been given away with the proverbial frog in the boiling pot of water.
Absolutely.
To the federal government. And if they want the money, they have to give more and more rights. And it was never supposed to be that way. I believe in states' rights. I believe each state should make a lot of decisions for themselves. But sadly, you know, it's the old adage of, we get what we deserve, or we get what we vote in. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the American people have been not really focused on this as a priority. And unfortunately, the voting that has been, you know, occurred has been, you know, more about whether someone can give a good speech or not, whether they really care about this country, and are they truly patriots who are willing to sacrifice to do what's best for this country. And I would like to see more statesmen, people who care on that level, mm-hmm. than politicians who only care about their next election.
You know, it's I call them D.C. occupiers because I claim them to be career politicians. They're occupying offices and cutting deals, and those deals are not necessarily for the betterment of this nation. And we've seen so much argument going on here lately. Now, when we talk about the immigration, I think all of us can agree that there's an issue and we have to do something. But when I hear them say, well, we need to add, and some of the ones that I really like that I think are trying to do a good job, they'll make statements about increasing the legal immigration coming in here because we need them for our jobs. Well, whatever happened to educating, doing the very best we could for our children, our people here, so that they are educated and ready to take those jobs on. And then hopefully those jobs will increase and we can open it up to the others and bring them in and say, yes, give us your tired, your poor. We all need to work together to get this all accomplished. And there's an opportunity for everyone. That's what America's supposed to be. But so let's go back now to the third topic, and that is our education. And of course, Common Core has been in the forefront. We see that all over. Now, I have some teachers in my family, and they are very adamantly against Common Core. And some of them are afraid to speak out, Brian. But again, what you said about states' rights, we need to go back to that. Wouldn't it be better if the states, if the communities, if they were taking care of their own? Don't you know best there what's good for your folks? And don't I know best here what's good for the Missourians? I mean, because it's all different. But we need to come together on something common, besides Common Core, to raise us up and make us better. Don't you believe that?
Absolutely. And, you know, you look how Common Core was founded. You know, the Gates Foundation provided more than $160 million in funding, and they put together this with the Pearson Group. And there were about 25 individuals comprised mainly of test makers from the College Board and ACT and other programs. Not a single one of them was a classroom teacher, a childhood professional, or parent. They were all these individuals that were good at test taking. And so they came up with this idea of, you know, Common Core and presented it. And a lot of the states joined on the efforts. But by 2015, 15 of the original 46 states made efforts to withdraw from it, and four actually did. And so it's this idea that, you know, the federal government, that it thinks it knows what is best for our people, and to come up with this, you know, basically standards and shoving it down the people's throat. And that is never what the intention, you know, was of the federal government. And it's, again, another example of it getting out of control.
It's gotten too big and it's gotten out of control. And I want to talk about that a little bit more when we come back in from this break. You're listening to CSE Talk Radio. I'm visiting today with Brian Watson. We're covering quite a bit, but I'll tell you what, I'm learning an awful lot from Brian. Your calls are welcome at 877-895-5410, or you're welcome to sit there and just glean from his knowledge. 877-895-5410, and Brian and Beth Ann will be right back. CSE Talk Radio has a goal to bring America home. I've made it my mission to help small businesses who are ready to serve America on a national level. At WillieSmoothRevolvers.com, Bill Walters is your personal gunsmith, specializing in action work and repairs on most makes and models of double-action revolvers. Repair and enhance the actions of many semi-automatic pistols. Visit WillieSmoothRevolvers.com. Whether hunting, competition, or tactical work, WillieSmoothRevolvers.com is the gunsmith shop for you. CZ Engineering cares about safety. Protect your horses from life-threatening injury by using safety post caps. Find safety post caps at your local farm supply or request a sample package by emailing them at sample@cze.com. Safety post caps for the safety of your horses and livestock. Visit cze.com because safety comes first. Support the businesses who support common sense and CSE Talk Radio.
For a limited time, CSC Talk Radio has been provided a silver medallion. This specially designed limited edition of pure .999 silver 1 ounce medallion is a unique way to start a common sense conversation, as well as a special gift to you from CSC Talk Radio for your contribution of support. When you contribute $100 to CSC Talk Radio, we'll send you the State of Jefferson silver medallion. Become a part of CSC Talk Radio and do your part to help maintain common sense as we educate and encourage the American citizens to take notice, smell the corruption, and get involved. The State of Jefferson silver medallion is a great way to tell others, we've been duped and double-crossed, but we the Republic are now awake and aware. Contribute $100 to CSC Talk Radio and receive your State of Jefferson silver medallion. Common sense is a rare commodity and more precious than fine silver. Support and join Common Sense forces now. Send $100 to P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri 65018. Take a look at the medallion at csctalkradio.com.
BioAg, working with nature naturally. Murray Bast has been my guest several times here on CSC Talk Radio. You know now he's devoted to helping farmers and ranchers. Murray is my common sense voice for improved agriculture. Farmers and ranchers are vital to any nation. Our food and how it's grown is more than just planting a seed, slopping the hogs, or feeding the cows. There's a science to it, and it takes a special kind of people. Since 1982, their mission has been to produce and supply products and services that warrant and support true sustainable agriculture. BioAg is a major supplier of natural products and services for livestock and crop production. Become a BioAg distributor. BioAg consultants and distributors are devoted. BioAg.com has all the products you need to improve your bottom line as well as improve your products and health. Visit bio-ag.com or call them at 1-800-363-5278. That's 1-800-363-5278.
It was once said, the pen is mightier than the sword. We're living in a time now that is demanding the Republic to speak up. Grievances need to be put before our elected officials. They need to hear from you. Mainstream media isn't telling the constitutional truth about issues in this nation. There's an agenda afoot that's being used against we the people. Commit now to send at least one of your representatives the pen. There will be no excuse for their lack of knowledge. Pick your state or national representative and senators, or even your governor. It's time to bring common sense back into our governing. Let the Republic be heard. The Pen is a bi-monthly publication for only $24.95. Order yours and order theirs. $24.95 per subscription. CSC Talk Radio, P.O. Box 73, California, Missouri 65018. Order four and get the fifth one free. For credit card, visit csctalkradio.com. CSC Talk Radio listeners are reaching out to bring America home.
And we have returned to listening to CSC Talk Radio. We are in the final segment of today's show, and we do have a caller. I'm going to go quickly to him so that we can catch him in here before the end of the show. We have Bob from Michigan. Bob, how are you today?
I'm fine. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to, if you hadn't, give a little historical perspective. Lady by the name of Charlotte Iserby
I've had her on the air before.
Oh, yeah, she's awesome. If you want to see how these things are all tied together, it's not just the Common Core, but it goes back to outcome-based education, and it's been afoot in the educational process federally since, she was in the Reagan administration. And if she's been out here, then you're already up to speed on it. I just wanted just to refresh your memory on that.
Okay, yes, I've had Charlotte on before. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate the call. Charlotte talks about the declining of the public school system, and she has written a book, Dumbing Down of America, and I think we've kind of seen some of that happening, whether it's intentional or not intentional. We've seen it happening, and we've seen some of the things that we think they ought to be teaching the children being taken out and out of the school system, and that is a concern. You know, the Common Core, what the teachers have told me about it, Brian, is it serves no purpose really, but it does create more havoc for the teacher, and she can't spend, it takes her time from the classroom because she's got to get, just typical government, she has to take in all this extra red tape and all these things that they have to fill out, the paperwork and everything that goes along with it. it takes them away from the classroom, so it can't be more efficient. But like I said, it is government.
Well, it is, and my sister's a school teacher, and it's another layer that they have to deal with in the classroom when they have a host of other things that they're trying to get done as well. You know, I do want to go back to one comment you said about jobs and how that ties in with education. You know, as one example, somehow in America we have decided that the, you know, how you measure success is whether a child graduates from high school and whether they go to college and whether they graduate from college. And that may be a measurement of success for some kids, but it doesn't have to be a measurement for all kids.
Right.
As an example, you know, there was a recent article about how there was a shortage of welders, good quality welders in a large project. And these are very, very high paying jobs, good jobs. I mean, even in the oil and gas industry in Colorado, the average person is making over $100,000 a year in, you know, the oil and gas fields. And so at the end of the day, we should also look about teaching our kids good, solid skills and vocational training, things like welding and things like working in the oil and gas field. These are great jobs and quality jobs. And I think I'd rather see, you know, hardworking Americans hired first than having us have to bring in workers from overseas to work on, you know, a job in our country.
You know, and I've had that article here, and I don't know if we talked about it when you were on the air, if I did that when I was solo one day, but when I got out of high school, I didn't go on to college, but I did go into the factory work, and I worked in a factory for a while. You know, that is looked down by some people, but, you know, it was hard work, and it paid fairly decent, and I wasn't unhappy at it. I ended up quitting the job and moving on with my life in another direction, but it wasn't because I hated the job.
Well, you know, I think no job should be looked down upon, and it really bothers me that there's people out there who decide what is a worthy job or not. You know what? Go out and get your skills and work hard and go find the best job that you can find with your skill set. Work on improving yourself and not only hopefully get pay raises in that job, but if you don't like that job, then go find another. You know, my first job was digging ditches and bucking hay and things like that, and I was honored to work in those areas, and I worked in a manufacturing shop as well. And landscaping and a host of other things. And I worked hard and I said, you know what, here's what I wanted to do. And I ended up going into real estate because that's where my, you know, professional passion is. But this idea that there's certain people who look down upon a job, you know what, the dignity of a job and earning your way and creating opportunity for you and your family, that should never be looked down upon. And it really bothers me that there's some out there who do so.
Well, you know, and we kind of went through this recently and I got a feeling we're going to hear more about it. And I thought, well, big deal. You know, I actually give him kudos for what he's done, but they went after Scott Walker because he didn't finish college. Well, you know, he saved some money. How many times do these kids go into college not knowing what they really want? They just go to college because everybody tells them they should go to college. And economic value of it. I mean, it's so expensive to do that, and then they end up having all this debt to pay back, and sometimes don't even end up in the occupation that they went to school for. And, you know, those kind of things, I think, you know, I don't think you should look down on Scott Walker because he didn't finish college. That's no big deal to me. Of course, I didn't go, so it's no big deal to me. I've seen a lot of people, you know, my parents were from the Depression. Some of those very successful people back then and even today didn't even finish high school. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't finish high school. Don't get me wrong. But that's not what makes an individual successful.
Yeah, and I would say the opposite. You know, I am proud to live in a country that somebody has, you know, worked hard and has risen to the level of being governor of one of our states and doesn't have to follow the standard path of going and getting a college degree. Good for him. You know, at the end of the day, he's measured and voted upon by the job that he's doing and what he's delivered, not whether he has a piece of paper that says he graduated from some college. And, you know, there's many who say that even in today with the way society has changed, that, you know, college for some may in fact be a waste of money. Now, not for all, but you know what? You make that decision for yourself, not to have some government or some media group or anyone else, you know, look down upon you because, you know, you didn't attain this thing called college. I just think it's absolutely ridiculous.
You know, my dad went to school later on in life. He was a factory worker, a supervisor in Owens Corning Fiberglass there in Kansas City. And he wanted to do something else, and he had a passion, and he went to night school. And he learned how to tune pianos, and he became the greatest piano tuner in the world, in my opinion. And he went on and was successful in that. Was he rich? No, he wasn't rich. He was happy, and he was successful in what he did. He was one of the best at what he did here in Missouri. You have to follow your passion, Brian, and I think people fail to see that. You just can't do what everybody else tells you to do. Listen and take advice. There's nothing wrong with that, but you can't just lump it all together, and that's what makes America great, because we don't lump it all together. We do think for ourselves. We're supposed to be sovereign individuals. We're about out of time. I'm going to let you finish up here as get some words of wisdom from you to my listeners. We have about 30 seconds here.
Well, we covered a lot of ground today, and I always enjoy that with you, and I appreciate the common sense approach that you take with it. You know, I would say go back to that. At the end of the day, go follow your passions, and I think when your passions become your profession, it makes life a whole lot easier, and I think you're going to be a whole lot more productive. And I think that by all of us working together on a lot of these issues, we can be that positive impact that we want to be and see in the world. So I really appreciate your time today.
Well, and I can tell that you're a positive impact in wherever you go, Brian. I hope to see you. I'm going to be in Colorado in June, and I hope I get to see you there at the Western Summit, a conservative summit, and maybe we can shake hands and actually see each other face to face. Because, you know, folks, it takes all of us from Colorado to Missouri, from sea to shining sea, to work together as family and bring America home.
Are you frustrated with your current job? Not making the type of money that you know you are worth? Is it time for a change? Maybe it's time you considered starting your own home-based business. Autopilot Marketing has helped thousands of people just like you get started working from home. Whether it's an extra $250 to $500 per month part-time or a six-figure full-time income, anything is possible. You don't need any special skills or experience. Anyone can succeed with Autopilot Marketing. Take our free video tour and find out if this opportunity is right for you. Go to income23.com now. That's income23.com. Take our free video tour today and start earning money as early as next week. Go to income23.com. That's income23.com.
Samuel Adams once said, "It doesn't take a majority to win, just a tireless minority that will keep starting brush fires in the minds and hearts of their fellow men." Become a member of our Bring America Home campaign. Membership is $10. We'll reward you with a certificate of your commitment to do your part to bring America home. CSC Talk Radio is your common sense voice, and we need your help to stay on the air and fight this fight for America's true homeland constitutional security. Send $10 to CSC Talk Radio. Note that you want a membership certificate to join our Bring America Home campaign. Send $10 and join today. Post Office Box 73, California, Missouri 65018. That's just $10 as you join CSC Talk Radio for our Bring America Home campaign certificate. Post Office Box 73, California, Missouri 65018. As Samuel Adams suggested, let's start a few brush fires as we bring America home. Thank you.
Affinity 4 is making it easy for you to stay connected with friends and family with their new senior-friendly wireless phone. This Affinity 4 phone features large buttons with an easy-to-use keypad, dedicated speed dial buttons, nationwide coverage on one of America's largest networks, and more. With its dedicated emergency call SOS feature, not only can you stay connected, but you also have the peace of mind knowing that in an emergency situation, you're protected. Plus, it's the only senior-friendly phone that allows you to give back to this radio station. That's right. Through Affinity 4's Give Back program, the proceeds will be donated to this radio station each month. This offer is available while supplies last, so don't wait.
Call 1-800-311-2648. 1-800-311-2648. That's 1-800-311-2648.